Then came he to Derbe in Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, excuse me, chapter 1 and verse 5. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5. When you get there, say amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5 reads like this: When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it is in thee also. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it is in thee also. With the Lord's help tonight, this morning, you can tell that old evangelist shows up sometimes. Amen. He used to preach it at night. But with the Lord's help this morning, I want to deal with a message directed to mothers and young ladies and women alike on meaningful motherhood. Meaningful motherhood. Because this day where we celebrate the gift of mothers and what they have given us and what they give children, and children celebrate, and as well as for those of you that are parents, that have living parents, or those that are gone on before, I know today comes with a lot of emotion. For some of you, it may be sad. You may have had a loved one that has passed on, a mother or a father. And some of you have those that are here. And as already been mentioned this morning, we need to cherish that time we have with them. I was calling my mother and my grandmothers this morning and just saying Happy Mother's Day. And you can just tell, even though I'm not there, just simply saying Happy Mother's Day has a certain, it strikes a certain chord in their heart. They appreciate a child calling them or showing them that recognition. And we'd understand today that motherhood is something that is pretty precious. And on Mother's Day, pretty much, we give mothers the recognition they deserve, but they don't often get. There's been many times we don't say thank you or really show them how much it means to us. And in some countries, Mother's Day is a little heavier than others. I was reading, before we get into the message here, I was reading of one place in Central Africa, and on Mother's Day, at one point, I think it was the year 1971, the king ordered all the execution of all the men that were jailed with crimes against their mothers. Now, we don't take it that far. Amen. I thought that was pretty different. Amen. But today, like I already said, we celebrate motherhood. We celebrate what it is to be a mother and what it is to give birth to a child and raise them. And one quote says this: No nation is ever greater than its mothers, for they are the makers of men. Another quote would go on to say this: Give me a generation of Christian mothers, and I will undertake to change the whole face of society in 12 months. All if you can get mothers to be godly mothers. And we're going to deal with this today on meaningful motherhood. We know in the Bible that mothers and motherhood is something that is smiled upon by our God in heaven. And we would know in 1 Timothy 2 and 15, it says, Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness and sobriety. And also in Psalms 127 and 3, it says, Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. We can read throughout Scripture, example, Sarah, Rachel, Jochebed, Deborah, Ruth, Elizabeth and Mary. There's so many different examples we have in the Bible. And to be honest with you, when I was studying for this morning's sermon, I was asking God, where do I need to go? What do I need to say as a pastor to the mothers that are here or to those that have living mothers? W.L. Cladwell in 1928 made this comment. He said this: The pride of America is its mothers. There are wicked mothers like Jezebel of old. There are unnatural mothers who sell their children into sin. There are sin-cursed, rum-soaked, and abandoned mothers to whom their motherhood is exposed of their shame. But he said, I am glad to believe, however, that they are comparatively few in class. That may be true in 1928. But we live in an age of selfishness. We live in an age where godly mothers are almost unheard of. And even though he said that in 1928 and thought that that was something that was rare, I can say today that it's not a rare thing today.
That motherhood is something that has been abandoned in America as a whole or the world as a whole. And we would understand today that with the case of divorce and illegitimate marriages and all, I mean, illegitimate birth things, that we know births outside of marriage where there is no mother, where there is no father. We know that the family is under attack and the annual abortions now number in the millions. We would understand that it's gotten to a place that motherhood has been abandoned. It is almost as if to have children is a bad thing. The cry of the day is get you a briefcase, get you an education, and make something of yourself. But I would just, with the Lord's help today, I'm not against none of those things as far as being something and having goals in life. But I would encourage the young today, do not abandon what God intended for us to be, for you to be. Do not abandon the structure of the family. We would understand, for better or worse, mothers are the makers of men and they are the architects of the next generation. And this is the whole goal. This is something we must pay attention to. As a woman, you're not called to be selfish. As a woman, you're not called to just forsake the will of God and to do what you want to do. As a woman, you're not called to go chart your own course, so to speak. But as women, there is a high calling and there's a gift of motherhood. It is a beautiful thing. It is a gorgeous thing. It doesn't matter what the world thinks. I know what the music, even if you were to go and study the popular music of the day, it is selfish. It's not on what doing the will of God. It's all about going clubbing. It's all about going to get drunk. It's all about doing your own will. It's all about just living to the pleasure of yourself. And that's why abortion is such a high rate and all these different things. But we must get back to what it is to be a family and what it is to be a mother and what it is to raise children in the fear of God. Probably one of the biggest mistakes ever happened in America is when the mothers quit teaching the children and they shoved them somewhere. And I know it's just a thing nowadays and something you're crazy for saying this, but it's true. When we've given them to the state to raise. Now, I would encourage you to take your own time and study that. Don't have time to go into it. But nowadays, if the mother or the father does not teach that child that God created this world, they'll probably never hear it. Nowadays, if the mother or the father does not find that role in life and teaches that child to be pure and to be holy and to fear God and to read their Bible and to pray and to do this, and for wives to love their husbands and for husbands to love their wives and to love their children and not to be selfish, they will never hear it. And us as a church, the adults to the younger, and even those of my age, I know I'm starting to get a little older, I must understand this, that the family has been under attack for years. The structure of the family is at the place that is trying to crumble. It is already eroding. It's already coming to pieces. And we must understand what it is to be a parent, what it is to be a mother or a father. But today I want to deal with this in 2 Timothy. We understand that Paul wrote this letter. Paul, this is his last letter. He is in prison. And I'm not talking about jail houses like nowadays. He was in a dungeon. Some believe that there was sewage in the bottom of those dungeons. We know that it was cold. We know that it was dark. We know that he was in chains and fetters. We know that he knows, you can tell in the writing of 2 Timothy, he knows that his life is coming to an end. He knows he doesn't have it long on this earth to live. And this is pretty much his last letter to Timothy, his son of the faith. And he's giving him instruction. I just picture it myself today. As Paul is sitting there in that dark dungeon. Maybe a ray of light is coming from somewhere. But he takes that pen and paper. And he's writing this letter to Timothy. And he's giving him instruction. And he says this. I mean, you also have to understand at this time that King Nero was on the throne. He was persecuting the church. I mean, you can study through that persecution. He would take Christians. And he would put wax-dipped shirts on them. And he would set them on fire just to light up the gardens. He would take men and women and children and put them in animal skins and turn them loose in arenas and turn wild dogs and wild animals loose on them. I'm telling you, they were attacked by lions. They were sawn asunder. They were tortured. Paul and Timothy are facing a very, very critical hour. And do you think that this most important, very important letter, he took his time to mention his mother and his grandmother. I want you to think about this today because Paul says this. He says, when I call to remembrance, Paul was at a place he was thinking and he was about to pass the torch on to Timothy. And I believe within myself where I read to you in Acts chapter 16 and verse 1, maybe Paul's mind went back to that time when the first time he met Timothy. And we know that there is said that in Acts 16 and 1 that he said he met Timothy, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was Greek. I bet his mind went back to the place the first time he met Timothy. And even though many believe that Timothy's father was either dead or he was not saved because it says he was a Greek or Gentile there, we understand that he was either an unbeliever or dead. He made mention here, the very first time he met Timothy, he met his godly Jewish mother. Now Timothy's going through a tough time. Hear me today. He's pastoring and he's up against the wall. It is a tough time. Discouragement is trying to set in. Understand this today, but Paul took time to say this. Timothy, your grandmother and your mother, there was somebody that you knew. There was somebody that was godly. And we understand he says this, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, it dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice. Now hear me today. That unfeigned faith. We read that sometimes and do not even understand what it means. But I looked that word up in the Greek and hear me today. It means undissembled. It means a sincere. It means without dissimulation. It means just without hypocrisy. He was saying, Timothy, there was a faith that was passed to you from your grandmother to your mother, and now it was given to you. It was a faith that was not tainted. It was a faith that was not disassembled. It was a faith that was pure. They were not hypocrites. They lived a good life. They read their Bible. They prayed. They were faithful. They endured. And he's saying, Timothy, that same faith was delivered to you in whole. It was not broken apart. It was not in shambles when it was given to you. But there was a pure, holy faith that was delivered to you. Timothy, do not give up. I would present this to you today that it's not difficult. And hear me, every woman in the building and man. It's not difficult to deliver lip service to your children. That's easy. It's easy to look at your child and say, Jesus loves you. But it's another thing to live that life in front of that child. It's one thing to look at your child and say, no, you shouldn't do that, young lady or young man. But we have become a generation as do as I say and not as I do. Hear me today, friend. I want to ask you, and not to condemn, but I want to ask every mother and every father in this building as we're dealing with this role in the family. Hear me today. Have you delivered a untainted, undisassembled, unbroken down, unhypocritical faith to your children? Think about that. Or have we at times delivered a fractured faith? Or have we at times misrepresented what the Bible calls us to do? Now understand, I'm not trying to condemn those that have made mistakes. Hear me. That's in the past. That's done. I'm not trying to bring a skeleton out of the closet, so to speak. But I am here today to tell you and encourage you, whatever you do, no matter what level in life you're in today, whatever it is, live your pure faith, live it in righteousness, live it holy before the eyes of God. Do not say one thing and do not try to act one way one place and completely abandon it somewhere else. An unfeigned faith. It's not difficult to pass lip service to your children. It's not difficult to pass ritual or religion to your children. I'm saved because daddy was saved. I'm saved because mama was saved. I know I'm a good person. I always have went to church. I've always done this. That's easy to do. But my question is this today. Are you passing the true, holy faith of Jesus Christ to those that are younger? Now this goes for everybody in the building. Even if you do not have children, you can be a mother in the church. You can still have those qualities of motherhood. You can still have that care and that nourishment. And you want to be that example that leads our young ladies and young men into holiness and not into worldliness. Hear me. If you hadn't learned from little children, they copy what you do. Me and my wife were laughing yesterday at a little video somebody had put on the internet. He was a little Hispanic boy, and his mom was trying to talk to him about stealing a cupcake. And her name was Linda. And that little boy looked at Linda. He said, "Linda, Linda, Linda, listen." He kept saying, "Listen to me. Linda." You know where he heard that from? He probably heard his dad. That's not a bad thing. But he probably heard his dad say that. What I'm trying to say, kids are going to replicate through the ages. When you hear a little kid say a cuss word, where do you think it come from? When you hear a little kid say something, you're like, how did he learn that? He learned it from somewhere. Understand this, friend. All of us must understand. When you raise children, you only have one shot. Blessed those that have their quiver full. But take heed how you shoot the arrow. We want children to hit the mark. We want Abundant Life Tabernacle to produce families that hit the mark. We don't want to miss it. We don't want to miss the target. We don't want to miss what God's intended. Because I tell you this today, if you take the mother out of her position, you take the father out of his position, you take the pastor out of his position, you take the soul, all of that, it will come crumbling down. There must be structure. There must be something. Hear me today. Because like I've said, it's easy to pass on religion. It's easy to teach reverence, but you can't teach relationship. It's easy to teach reverence. Don't do this or you're going to the bad place, son. But do we teach our children relationship? You need to do this. Christ loves you. Talk to Him. Understand this today, friend, because this must be something that is brought up in our lives. We cannot just teach children to go through the motion, but understand, but passing on the unfeigned faith takes work and it takes discipline. It takes policing yourself. It takes you getting down and praying. It takes you turning off things that are bad. It takes you watching your mouth. It takes you not fussing. It takes you being careful and policing yourself. Don't argue in front of your children. And do me a favor, don't chew the pastor out in front of your children. If there's something you have a problem with, get behind closed doors with those of mature minds and talk about it. And deal with it. That is the structure. And I want to tell you, friend, I've seen it. I've seen it where more young people have been raised in holiness. They wear a skirt. They go to college. They backslide. They have no experience. They have no relationship. And something's wrong. Statistically, a lot of kids go to college don't make it. You tell you who failed? No, I'm not here beating or condemning. But I'm here telling you, don't you give in to it. Don't you yield to that spirit. There's a spirit of rebellion in this age we're living in. It don't have no respect for authority. It has no respect for parenthood. It has no respect for mothers or fathers. They want you to conform to them. And there's some people that are puny enough to do it. But I'm telling you once again, there is an unfeigned faith that is true and it's wholesome. It's pure and it's holy. It may rub against the grain at times, but by God it works. It'll be there through the thick and thin. It'll be there when sin shows up. It'll be there when iniquity comes. It'll be there when temptation comes. Hear me today, friend. We need to deliver the faith. Dealing here with Timothy, there was three generations it was passed down. He said it was in your grandmother Lois. It was given to your mother Eunice. Timothy, it's in you too. It's in you too, Timothy. Many of you already heard me mention before, my great-grandfather was a Pentecostal preacher. Brother Glenn knew him to some extent. Him and my grandma Chapel, they were godly people. They lived good, godly lives. I remember, as I said before here, I remember my grandmother, even when she had Alzheimer's, getting down in front of my bed at 6 in the morning praying when I was 12 years old, "God, keep Derek." I remember in my teenage years, I seen the same faith to rise in my mother. It took a little while to get there, but I see my mother begin to make a change to the best. And I could not deny that it was the faith that I've seen in my grandmother. I could not say it was something else because there was an influence there. It was passed down to generation. It was there. And even though at times the world tries to snuff it out, even though the world tries to extinguish it, thank God the Holy Ghost will come by. He'll fan the flames. He'll put a calling on somebody's life. He'll give somebody an anointing. He'll give somebody something in their spirit that they have to say, I'll embrace it. I'll live it. And I'll take the torch forward. You could be younger here today. You could be your teenagers. You could be in your 20s. If the faith has been delivered you into with any measure, you are responsible. And if you're here today and you didn't have a godly mother or you didn't have godly parents or your family wasn't perfect, I hate that. I know it's frustrating. I know it hurts. And Lord, I know I'm sorry. But I'm telling you, there's women in this church that you can look to as examples. There's women of the faith that you can read about. There's women of the Bible you can draw inspiration from. And you can say, there is that unfeigned faith and I want it to be in my life. Yes. Yes. Three generations, Timothy. I've seen it in your grandmother when I first met her. Timothy, in Acts chapter 16, your mother was there. But Timothy, I'm in prison and I'm about to die. I want to tell you something, Timothy. He would go on to say, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. He was saying, Timothy, look, I know it's a tough time. I know things are getting bad. I know it's perilous times. You even find in 2 Timothy chapter 3, that's when he says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. He goes on to say, men shall be their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. We're living in a time that almost mirrors that time. We're living in an age where there is blasphemy. We're living in an age where there is adultery and divorce and homosexuality. And there's children that are desperate. There's children that need a move of God. There's children that need to find the will of God. There's children that need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. But we've got to pass it to them. That same selfishness that is out there in that world, hear me, has found its way in our churches. It may not be with alcohol and drugs. It may not be with abortion clinics and bad relationships. But it can get to the place, hear me, where we feel like we're on the ship of Zion and we're going to put her on cruise till we arrive. We can't do it. There has to be a generational transfer. There has to be a generational transfer. There has to be something that the young people see in lives. That's when Paul said in chapter 3, he said, look, there's perilous times. It's a wicked time. But he goes on to say, look, he's talking to Timothy in verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. What Paul was saying here, look, there is perilous times, Timothy, but your mother showed you the Word. Your mother showed you the way. Your mother showed you. She told you what to do. She gave you a Bible. She gave you direction. Hey, Timothy, it's bad out there. Hey, ma'am and sir, I know it's bad. But look to somebody. Young ladies, young men, look to somebody that'll point you in the Word. Paul's telling Timothy here, pretty much, your mother had been careful to embed the Word of God in you, Timothy. Don't you throw it away. Hold on to it. Hold on to it. Hear me today, friends, because this is subjects that don't get touched on much. We must have a generational transfer. We must allow our children to see the same thing. Understand through the Bible, we can understand and trace different ones that had a lasting influence of mother faith on their lives. Hebrews 11:11. Or you can read through the book of Hebrews. It talks about all these great and mighty men. But all of a sudden it says something like this, through faith also Sarah. That's a mother. Who was Sarah? Sarah was the mother of Isaac and the mother of Jacob. Jacob had the 12 sons, Joseph, and trace it on. We also have examples in Hebrews 11:31. By faith, the harlot Rahab. So if you're a mother here today and you've had a bad past, so did Rahab. If you're here today and you say, Brother Darren, I can't rise above the rubble and the ashes of my failures. And Rahab had to. And you say, Brother Derek, was she a mother? Was she a good mother? Well, let me put it this way. Rahab gave birth to Boaz. Boaz married Ruth. Ruth and they gave birth to Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse. And Jesse was the father of David.
Yeah, come on.
Amen? Hey, David. You discouraged today? You ever heard that story about Rahab? I know. Granddaddy Obed used to talk about it a lot. But even, what about Grandma Ruth? Left the Moabites. Laid at the feet of Boaz. I mean, who thought that would work out?
Right. Come on.
And the walls of... Do you see what I'm talking about? There was a generational transfer. Understand, Rahab would have told Boaz about the walls of Jericho. Boaz and Ruth would have told Obed about what happened with Ruth and her life. Obed would have told Jesse. Jesse would have told David. There was a generational transfer and they kept it alive because not too long, not too further later in David's life, he's taking down giants. He's being a king over Israel. Then you have Solomon. Then you have Bathsheba the mistake. But then you have all the kingdoms all through to the lineage of Christ.
Right.
Meaningful motherhood. Trying to encourage you, church. Don't let it down. This world is beckoning every woman in this room. Conform. Give in. And give up. But there has to be a Ruth. There has to be a Rahab. There has to be a Sarah. There has to be women of the faith. There has to be a Jochebed. There has to be women like Mary that is willing to facilitate the will of God in her life, no matter what it costs her. Hey, Mary, you're going to have a child and you're a virgin. Lord, I may get stoned. God, it's okay if your will is done. And not only was Mary willing to say yes, but she was willing at the cross to let go. She was willing. That's what the man told her there in the temple. In the temple there when she was dedicating Jesus. He said, a sword's going to pierce your soul, Mary. It's going to be a life of turmoil. It's going to be a life of sacrifice. But she said, I'm willing to do it. Every woman in this house today must be willing to do this. Hear me today. F.B. Meyer once said this. Hear me. It is not the quantity of faith, but it is the quality of faith that is important. A grain of mustard seed and a pellet of dust are similar in appearance, but the difference is immense. The one has no life burning at the heart of it, while the other contains life as God kindled it. Faith that has the principle of life is a faith which God can use it, and He can facilitate it, and He can pass it on to your children. Every man and woman in this building, hear me. Let your children hear you praying. Point your children the right way. Please. That is your responsibility. And that is your high calling. If you're a woman of the faith here today and you have no children, be a godly example to the younger. When they come to church, let them see you praying. Let them see you having a testimony. We must understand, have meaningful motherhood. I would ask you today this question, as F.B. Meyer said, it is not the quantity of faith, but the quality. Are we giving the next generation a pellet of dust? Or are we giving them a mustard seed? Think about that. You say, what does that matter? A mustard seed when it's small. You ever seen one? When you plant it, and you see pictures of them that have grown, you have to sit there and say, wow, how could that little seed do so much? How could it? There was life there. There was life there. Hear me today, friends. We have to make sure this next generation, we're passing life to them. We're passing life to them. Stand to your feet as my wife goes to the